It's time to fire it up.
Why you gotta make me feel inferior? Because I'm on the grill, B.
From the chop.
Food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here. Just having a barbecue.
This is the Grilling Guy.
Hey, welcome. You listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We are in the dog days of summer.
Oh.
Yeah, and we might be talking about dogs, burgers, and a whole bunch of stuff today, but hope you're managing this heat efficiently and effectively for you. Was with a guy yesterday. Well, you guys all know him, Chaz, the Baritone of Beer. His air conditioner went out, and he's been sweating a little bit, but I hope you're not doing it. But I'm Jop, and he's Barbecue Bob. What's cooking?
Well, if it's going to go out, that's when it's going to go
right,
out, isn't
exactly.
it?
Exactly, yeah. And of course, you know, it takes a few days to get somebody in. It isn't just like...
He probably needs a little extra cooling, too. He produces a few BTU.
Yeah.
yeah, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us on the smokiest show on the airwaves. It's thegrillingguys.com if you want to check out our website. And there's all sorts of stuff up there. 15 years of junk now. I think September it'll be 15 years, boy.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I can't believe I've liked you that long. But
you've
you know
liked
what?
Me longer than that.
Yeah, I know. It's
you
crazy.
Loved me before that. You
right.
just like
yeah,
me
yeah.
now.
It's a slow burn.
I am going to get right home after this and throw a bunch of chicken steaks on the grill, and I'm feeding the Kent County Conservation Club. They're having a big championship there, so I got about 60 people today and 60 people tomorrow, and today they're getting chicken and all kinds of cool stuff, and tomorrow they're going to get some really delicious pulled pork.
So what's a chicken steak?
It's a secret.
Well, now bust it out, man, because I don't even know what you're talking about, and I've grilled a few things in my day, but I'm not sure I've ever grilled a chicken steak.
I know, it's just something I came up with. It's a certain marinade on a skinless, boneless thigh, and then grill it only, not smoke it.
Right.
Yeah, and I'm telling you, the thing looks like a steak when you get done with it.
So it's dark colored?
It's so good.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's so good. I've got this wonderful find I'll tell you about. I have to get my phone.
Okay.
We pick it up at Costco, and it's a salad dressing. And I have it in my favorites here so I can find it a little easier.
Holy cow, look what the cat dragged in just in the studio. It's Scott Pastore just hanging out. Oh, he's touching buttons. We might start sounding better here in a minute. Oh, no, he says. No way. Can't do it. It's only technology.
Must be the bank ran out of money.
Yeah,
he's here.
Right.
He wants us to pay him early. Yeah. It's called TETA, Teta Foods, and it's their fattoush dressing.
Fattoush? This sounds Mediterranean.
It is. Fattoush is a salad my wife makes, and this is from Costco, TETA, Teta or Tita Foods.
Okay.
I'm telling you, it's gold. This is one of the best dressings I've ever had. They've nailed my favorite dressing perfectly.
So
and you
what,
can buy it in
profile?
A big jar
yeah.
for $6.
What's the profile? I mean,
good.
Okay.
The profile is good.
I mean, is it loaded with garlic? Is it loaded with vinegar, balsamic? Or
it's very much like, you know, we go to Sheshka Grill.
Right.
And they make a wonderful salad dressing. It's very much like that.
So it's an oil vinegar base?
Oil, wine vinegar. I think maybe a little bit of tahini and some yogurt. I don't know, but this one's very sophisticated. It's got all kinds of stuff going on, but when it hits the palate, when it hits that chicken thigh, the chicken thigh literally jumps out of the bowl. It's like, oh, that's too hot for me.
Yeah. Is spicy hot?
No,
or just
no,
good?
No, no.
Good. Okay.
Talking sexy
well,
hot.
Well, I mean, for $6, I got to try a bottle.
Yeah, it comes in two bottles of two. I think
sure.
it's 12 or 15
yeah,
bucks
sure.
for a two
that's
bottle.
Costco, right?
But they're
yeah.
the big ones.
Yeah.
They're not, you know, it's not a little skinny one. It's a nice big jug. So
you stumbled on this. You bought some because you're, you know.
I saw
you're...
it and I thought, well, that looks kind of like what my wife likes. So I bought a two pack and
right.
I drank a half a bottle as soon as I got home. It was so good.
Yeah, exactly. But you're going to marinate chicken in it.
So that's what I call a chicken steak. And, you know, we do those things for some of our foods as a teaser, right? And you give it a silly name.
Sure.
It's really only pulled pork, but you, my beans are called bitchin' beans.
Right.
Only because somebody said they were bitchin', you know.
Right.
You put something on them so people remember it. Oh, and now when people order the beans, they always go, I want those bitchin' beans.
Right, yeah. Yep,
exactly. Yes, pastor.
Yeah, right, yeah. Well, he's human too, right? Everybody likes the bitchin' beans. There's no question. It's a good recipe. It's a really good recipe. But
so that'll be the Kent County Conservation Club and some really good young men, high school graduates and that age group. And so it's going to be a lot of fun. A lunch each day, and really it's just a stop and drop.
Okay.
So I have lots of other things going on that I can't talk about because they're surprises.
Oh, well.
And
I'm just blind with anticipation.
Well, right? You're not in them.
Oh, damn.
I just don't want to say them over there because it'll blow it.
That's fine. All good. All good. Yeah, so.
I'll tell you off air.
Later today.
It's no big deal.
Later today, you know, your pool's active in the backyard. So is mine. And I think we got five couples coming over. Just
that's surprising.
Yeah,
only five.
Right, and they're. But I have no idea. Everybody says, Jop, you always provide the protein. Check that this time. We're bringing stuff over.
They
for
said
you
that
to
in
grill.
College.
Right, we're bringing stuff over for you to grill. That's always a little bit of a tense moment for me, because you never know what people are going to bring, what the quality of it is, how they've maybe prepared it to the point where they hand it to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the chicken thighs, for example, I trim mine before I cook them because there's a lot of fat hanging on these. When you buy skinless, boneless thighs, there's always some extra fat on them. I don't like that grilled or smoked, all of it, because it never cooks completely.
I'll give you a classic example.
Okay.
Okay, I get home Monday after work, a busy day. You know, I run my keister off in the lumber yard and, you know, helping guys get truckloads. We sell semi-loads of lumber, okay,
right,
and trusses. So if it's really hot and you're back there with the crews and the vehicles, I mean, I'm wearing nice clothes and I'm going in and out of air conditioning, sweating like crazy. You're kind of cooked. And I get home at 3:30, maybe Monday, and my wife's in a panic. She goes, well, you know, we're having chicken and burgers, and do you have any hamburgers? I'm like, what? What time are people coming? Well, I told them we'd eat at 5. It's 3:30, girl.
Right. Yep. And the stuff's frozen that she
so
wants
I
to
said,
use. So I
said, stop by the supermarket, get some thighs, because I'll try and get what you need, I said. And so she says, I got a pack of thighs. And I said, how about burgers? She said, well, you've got some in the freezer. And it's once again, I'm looking at this girl that I know is intelligent.
Right.
Right? I mean, she's a bright, she's who's who in America. She's in the book. But at 3:30, she tells me we're going to have frozen patties at 5 o'clock. And it's not a Gordon wafer, you know, thing.
Right, yeah.
This is a real hamburger. So it's my birthday party.
Yeah.
And I am running like a dog. And then by 5:30, she's looking at me like, well, like, oh, happy birthday.
Yeah, right.
Happy birthday. So I get the tension.
Yeah.
I'm just bitching on air.
Well,
but isn't that a mind blower?
Right. And
3:30,
it's okay.
You're telling me
right.
Well, you want to eat at 5?
5, right, with frozen food.
Nobody eats at 5 anymore anyway, honey.
Right.
Okay.
Well, you're old now, Bob. So blue light specials will be
kids,
in your future.
The people didn't
you know,
even
you're
show,
eating at 5. You,
the people
you eat,
didn't even show up till 5:30.
Right. I understand, but they need to eat the minute they walk
in
the door, right?
Well, here's the deal.
Yeah.
The youngest grandkids go to bed at 7.
Oh, yeah.
So she wants to get them fed and out of here.
Right. Yeah.
Not my problem.
Right. Exactly. No,
well,
it's
I guess it was.
It's they think they're doing you a favor. And, and in essence, they are to a certain degree. But at the end of the day, it's like.
It's not a favor, is it, Conrad? Conrad's shaking his head. No.
Yeah.
He doesn't feel a lot of love there either. Yeah.
It's like, surprise, I brought you whatever.
Frozen patties.
It doesn't matter if you're a grilling guy. You know, it's, you know.
Conrad, you get a pass, though, because
it's
the, you know, if you could get your wife on the phone, we'll have this conversation.
Oh, man. Back up the buzz.
But anyway.
They got to have somebody to rag on
the
show.
Yeah, well, coming up next, we're going to continue down this, maybe some summer food if we get to it.
Bob, and I'm calling a whambulance one more time.
Right, yeah. we're going to talk a little bit about skirt steak.
And yeah.
I don't really cook a lot of it, but there's some techniques. So stick with us. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Jim, founder of Schmoe's Brewing Company. We're a small, family-owned brewery that serves the Grand Rapids neighborhoods. We do things a bit differently at Schmoe's, sort of old school. We make all the styles of beer true to style. That's our focus. So you want to relax and enjoy a well-made craft beer that tastes like a craft beer is supposed to taste, stop into Schmoe's. We're located in Cascade on Patterson Ave, right before the ice rink. Or check us out at schmoes.com. We're open every day but Sunday.
Barbecue Bob for Garrett's Appliance. Lots of folks are remodeling, and if you are, you owe it to yourself to go to Garrett's Appliance. They made my kitchen the perfect example of elegant and functional. Visit either location, 29th Street in Kentwood or 28th Street in Wyoming. Garrett's Appliance also has a super lineup of patio kitchen equipment, and you can count on their design team for a perfect outdoor grilling area. Visit garrettsappliances.com. That's garrettsappliances.com.
With the grilling guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the grilling guy rake, hit the brakes, it's going to be big. Stick around and put down the rake.
Welcome back. It's the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Thanks for tuning in. It is the dog days of summer. We're right in the middle of it. And if you're not out grilling at least three or four times a week, you're in the minority. So we're going to talk about some summer grilling ideas. And Bob, I see the show plan. You want to talk a little bit about skirt steak. That's a cut of meat that I bet I've only cooked maybe five times in my life.
That's more than most people.
Yeah. And so I know that you guys like it because you eat a lot of Mexican flavor profile food
right.
at your house. And skirt steak, I believe, is in that genre,
right? Always, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the average Caucasian can't even buy skirt steak, to be right. honest with you.
Yeah. Well,
can you say that on the radio?
Well, you know,
Conrad?
I'm on.
I don't know.
I'm on the southwest side of town where
oh,
I live.
Oh yeah.
And
you're in Little Mexico.
Right,
you can pick it up.
There's a lot of Mexican markets over
oh, yeah.
there, and some of the better ones have a meat market inside of them.
Oh yeah.
And you can walk in there, and I've always cheated and bought their already marinated. With their spices.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Skirt steak.
Great.
Because,
how is it?
Well, it's good. It's good. Better than I could do.
You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me a bit of a flat iron in that you've got to be very careful. It's very lean.
Mm-hmm.
There is a decent amount. I mean, it's a different looking meat. There's a decent amount of connective tissue.
And there's a grain to it.
Yeah.
Right.
A very serious, and that's the tough stringy part if you're not careful.
Right.
So cutting it on the bias is the big deal.
And across the grain, right?
Yes.
Not with it. Don't ever cut with it because
right.
you'll be chewing on shoestrings. But
I pulled this off the net. It's called the Spruce. The Spruce Eats. It's a site I ponder
yep.
once in a while. But it says it's a tough cut with thick grain. Comes from the beef plate primal cut. And if you, there's so wonderful. It's got a little picture here. And this is called The Spruce /Hugo LIN. So if you want to look it up, you'll see, you'll get a good idea as to maybe if you've ever cleaned your own deer, and most of you probably have, you'll notice this piece. And it's like, it's what you cut off the deer all the time and say, well, what am I going to do with that? Well, it's your skirt from a venison. And it is very stringy.
It's right down on the belly. It's from right behind the front leg, about halfway back, and it's the bottom of the belly.
On a pig, they would call it pork belly.
Right, right. And on a cow, they call it skirt steak.
It's a sexist comment.
Right,
skirt.
But it's a tougher cut, but when marinated, it's super flavorful.
Well, here's something I learned from this article. You can buy the inside or outside skirt. I don't know that I've ever noticed it mentioning that. And it said the outside skirt must be trimmed of the membrane. So that's when I started thinking flat iron, because the same thing with a flat iron, you know, you can get it trimmed or untrimmed. Now, Delsky Meats, Dave, when he was in the business, he sold the place, but he would not trim a flat iron. So when he sold it to you, you'd want to score it. And if you don't know what a flat iron is, I'm not going to try and describe where it's from because I honestly don't remember. It's in the front end of the cow, so it's got a chuck type flavor. But it's very similar in that it's one of those pieces of beef that I think was overlooked all the time until clever butchers, ethnic types like this, in this case, the Mexican cowboys or the Mexican chefs or whoever started carving up the cows way back when, were allowed to take that piece because they were just the workers, right? And here, that you keep that and you find a good way to make it. Well, skirt steak is that. Inside skirt doesn't need to be trimmed as much. And the way you cook it is quickly over a hot surface.
Right.
Now, you always want to grill it, right? Or you're not a grilling guy and just change a channel. But
right,
you're listening to the wrong show.
So it's kind of oblong, the ones I've purchased.
Yeah, it's
maybe
real
they're
long.
Like 7 or 8
like a,
inches
looks
wide.
Looks like a big salmon
flank.
Right,
and maybe like a foot, 2 foot long, depending on how big of a piece of it you get, but 7, 8 inches wide, and maybe like an inch thick, inch
maybe,
and a quarter, maybe. And
there's a
lineal grain that goes in it. And
is
so,
diagonal.
Right, yep.
Very much like the flat on a brisket is diagonal versus the decal or the point.
Right.
It does that same thing. Very similar kind of characteristic, stringy.
Yep.
Although with a brisket, you're going to cook it a long time. This, you have to just flash it. And
because
you want
it's so thin.
And there again, reminds me of a flat iron. You're going to go medium rare only.
Right.
You don't want to take this thing up to medium. You've ruined it.
Right.
Which my hamburgers were... Well done, Monday.
Yeah. Did you walk away?
No, I was flying.
Yeah.
And guess what? Everybody loved them.
Sure.
Too many people like well done.
Right.
But with this piece of meat, I'm telling you, do not cook it well done. And skirt steak used to be cheap. Well, because of the influx of Hispanic population and the Mexican restaurants, just like trying to find a used flat iron right now.
Right.
I mean, the griddle.
Right.
You know, because of all these restaurants opening up, you can't get them very easily. Well, that drives the price of a skirt up as well.
Right. And these are, if you'll think about when you go order fajitas in a restaurant.
Great meat for fajitas.
If you order beef fajitas, then you're going to get probably this cut.
Or a flank steak.
Right. Either one. Yep.
And the butcher will swap them out for you in a heartbeat and most people won't notice.
Right.
And they're both kind of similar and very good.
Right.
And cheap.
Yeah. And the flavor profile is what this is, a very beefy cut.
This Hugo says the inside and outside have a good amount of fat within, and that's the part I love about it, because you do notice that. Remember when I used to do fried ends with the point, and I would cut those cubes up and throw them on the grill and flash them? Rob Russell and I'd be doing a show, and we'd throw those things
brisket
on there,
yeah.
and they would literally see those little connective tissues. They look like little sparklers going off. They would snap, and you'd see a little flame
when they got
in
to
there.
A certain temperature,
yeah.
Right?
Very,
yeah.
Just a you know, again, it's entertaining somebody at the grill, right?
Right.
But this is that very similar connective tissue,
right?
Only we're gonna cook it fast and hot. We're not going to leave it on and try and break that down.
Right.
We're just going to make it safe and tasty.
Yeah, good stuff.
Because that's a connective tissue. It's not marble, so it's not going to make the meat juicy.
Right.
You'll dry it up real quick if you're not careful.
Yep. So medium rare, you're at 125 tops when you want to take that off. If you're using a thermometer, I think that it's worth mentioning in this case because it is a thin piece of meat.
Don't even bother.
You've got a hot, I mean, but
if you throw that little probe in there, you've got like a half inch variation.
Right.
You don't know where you're measuring.
Right.
You might measure the bottom side of it and it's like, oh my gosh, it's
170. It's so yeah, because
no.
It's so thin.
No, you just do this by touch and look.
Right.
Yeah, I agree.
But anyway, it's one of those things where it takes a little technique, and you know what? Be prepared that the first time you do it, it might be overcooked, but then you'll know. Just make a mental note on how long you had it on your hot grill.
Yeah, and it's got a really intense flavor, very much like a good chuck roast does. It's got that chucky thing going on. Now, lay that thing on a nice cutting board and look at the grain and make sure you're doing a 90 on that grain, and then bevel your blade 45. Now you've got the ultimate bias going on. And
what it's going to do is it's going to make a great chew with that, because
it's going to fall apart.
It's going to fall apart when you bite it. Otherwise, you're ripping it. And that makes a big difference when you're ready.
You'll be ripping it later.
Yeah. Anyway, coming up next, we might stuff your burger if Conrad will let us. So you're listening to Grilling Guys. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hey, this is Jop from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about my favorite butcher shop. It's Sobey Meats on the northwest side of Grand Rapids on Remembrance Road. This is a custom butcher. They'll cut any piece of meat that you want, any size, any way that you can dream of, to make sure that your grilling experience is perfect. Sobey Meats smokes all their own meats. They've got kielbasas and over 40 different flavors of brats. You've got to try Sobey Meats on Remembrance Road. Tell them the Grilling Guys sent you.
When it's time for bass fishing, don't do it bass-ackwards. Go to the bass fishing experts at Allen Bob Sports, now inside Millbrook Tack Building at 510 68th Street Southwest, just off 131. Tell them you want the Grilling Guys discount, and you'll save $5 off your $25 purchase with some exclusions. Allen Bob Sports, online at allenbobs.com.
Now hit me!
The Grillin' Guys.
Welcome back. It's the Grillin' Guys. Hey, we're actually talking about grilling food and some recipes and techniques
today.
It's weird, man. The last couple shows prior to this, we never even talked about grilling. We were doing all kinds of other stuff. But, hey, you know what? Again, dog days of summer. Here we are, late July, early August. It's been hot. It's been humid.
Because it's summer.
Right, because it's summer in Michigan. And guess what? It's time to get out and do some grilling.
I love watching the news right now. They're going extreme temperatures, and it's like if you look at the averages for 100 years, it's right. Just right in with everything else.
Right.
But they got to make a...
Might be on the upper end of it,
but it's news.
Still
there.
I mean,
it's like, just like if it's going to rain, you know, my phone's going, oh my God, you know, watch out. And and you get a little rain an hour later. It's like, okay.
Yeah.
How did we ever survive without all these talking heads?
That was on Wednesday. Mine was doing the same thing, blatting at me like, holy cow, you know, Rainmageddon is coming.
Yes. Lightning 6 miles away.
Yeah, and they do this. Yes, exactly. And they do the same thing with snow. Yeah. Snowmageddon. How many times have you heard that?
Oh.
I mean, I'm just hoping Armageddon happens so we can quit listening to these people.
Right. So,
Jop, tell us about stuffed burgers.
Well, it's a cool concept. There's a couple techniques that you need to be aware of. You know, I guess that a stuffed burger is just that. You're taking two patties, putting something between them, and then kind of pinching them together around the seams so you got something stuffed. I think there's a lot of things you can stuff them with. Cheese is a popular stuffing, any of the burger vegetables, but my recommendation, if you were doing onions in there, is I would probably grill the onions first and break them down, get them a little bit soft, and let them cool a little bit, and then put them in my stuffed burger, because they aren't, if you put them in there raw, they're going to be crisp by the time your burger's done. They aren't going to get cooked. So that would be my only recommendation on onions. If you wanted peppers, it'd be the same thing, whether they be bell peppers or jalapenos or whatever you like to stuff it with. Cook those on the side first. Bob, you, when you were running the Grilling Guys takeout, you always had onions and peppers.
Back to the flat top.
Right.
It's nice to have the big flat top.
Yep.
So you got a cool end. You grill up a bunch of stuff. You push it down, grill it up, push it down, and then boom, boom, boom. You're working magic.
Right. And so you take a little bit of those.
Did you hear what I said? It's boom, boom, boom.
I heard magic
boom,
is all
boom,
I
boom.
Heard. Yeah. Right.
All of a sudden, I'm from Jersey.
Right. Yeah. So, but mix in a little cheese because that's binder, right? The stuff won't slip around when you put the cheese. And that'll help you know when you're done all the way through, because if your cheese starts oozing out a little bit, that means the temperature's warm enough in that center.
And that's a really good point. And you kind of blew through that making the patty part faster than I would think Jop would
reel me back.
Jop's always, you know, very technical. And what you want to make sure is that they make it nice and flat and round and perfect, right? Because you're going to marry these two pieces. You're going to put something in the middle, and then you're going to go around like a pie crust.
Right.
So kind of go over that part a little bit, because that's
pinch
a big deal.
Together.
So when that cheese isn't oozing out like you're talking
right.
about.
Right. So what Bob was just explaining is a uniform patty. Because when you're gonna put a pile of vegetables in
sounds
this
like
case,
a Catholic girl, doesn't
right?
It?
Yeah, and then you're gonna put another patty over the top, and you want to pinch the edges to seal it, because the idea of a stuffed burger is the stuffing stays in there. When you pinch the edges, it cooks together, and invariably there's a little hole. I mean, things are moving in there. When you got cheese that's melting, it's changing its consistency. That's when I know that the center's done. Is you get a little bit of one of those. Seams all the way around is going
to
leak somewhere.
It's bound to.
Right?
Yeah.
Is there a certain cheese you should or shouldn't use?
Great question.
Yeah. Use slices of cheese rather than shredded. You certainly can use shredded, but I use slices because it lays over top
flattens out.
Yeah, and it glues a little bit. I mean, if that's really
well, you're
a term.
Not putting a big chunk of cheddar in there like
no,
a,
because
no,
it'll never
slices
melt.
Of cheddar.
Right.
So he's
okay.
saying a nice
flatten
uniform slice, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you, that's a great question, Conrad, because I see people in recipes and YouTube videos, people doing that, and they end up with this, what looks like a poorly made pasty. You know, yeah. It's just too high.
Right.
Yeah.
And then when you put it on a burger and you squeeze it together to get a bite, it oozes all over you. And with a slice of cheese, whether it's round or square, doesn't matter, but with that in there, it's going to act as glue. When it melts, it kind of seizes everything up, top of the top burger and the vegetables onto the bottom burger.
So is there something you shouldn't use, like a blue cheese?
Like that, American cheese.
Yep.
Don't use American cheese.
Because American cheese is melts
waxy.
Liquid.
It turns into Velveeta because yeah. it started as
right,
Velveeta.
Yeah. But so a real Wisconsin cheese or wherever your cheese has come
and,
from.
And maybe a more of an aged, because the more that cheese ages, the more it dries out.
Right.
And I mean, we're talking about a 3-point landing. If you got a little airplane, you want to come in with those main gear hitting and then that nose touching right down. You want your burger to do the same thing. By the time the meat's done, you want that melt to be hit, that cheese to be hitting the melting point. So if you use American cheese, man, that stuff starts sweating it while it's in your hand.
Right. Yeah. You know? Exactly. So, exactly.
Because these things have to be done delicately.
So, what do you like stuffed in yours, Bob? Because the fun part about this is whatever you want to put in there, you can. If it's vegetables, my recommendation is they're cooked first a little bit, grilled in a pan, sautéed, whatever, to soften them up. But, I mean, you could put olives in a burger like that. They usually don't need to be cooked.
And, again, if you're – I like the way you described it the first time. You know, the cheese is the binder.
Right.
I don't get complicated. I think a stuffed burger is primarily going to be cheese, and then I might do a chopped something on top and then cover it with mozzarella when right. I'm done, just because mozzarella is the universal cheese.
Yep, and it glues.
That's
mozzarella
wonderful.
Becomes – you've all had mozzarella on a pizza. When it gets cooked, it doesn't run. It gets stringy. Well, those strings hold it together. You know, just be careful when you take a bite, because it's going to be like pizza. You're going to take a bite of a burger and you're going to get a string of cheese out your mouth back to
the
burger.
That's the fun part.
Sure it is.
I always see stuffed burgers. First of all, I never heard vegetables stuffed. I always saw the cheese stuffed. Secondly, I always see leaks. I mean, if you order a burger stuffed with cheese, you kind of expect it to.
You want it to.
To blast out the side,
only
right?
Only for the photo op.
Oh.
Right, and then it'll drip down your chin every bite, right? So just be prepared. Don't wear your white shirt.
I'm not. Eating. I always say it wrong, but like a Gruyere
cheese. Yeah, yep.
That's a wonderful cheese on a burger.
Yep, yep.
Blue cheese. Conrad asked about. I love blue cheese.
So do I.
It's not going to melt. It's gonna kind of melt, but
right.
It's a wonderful. I mean, black and blue burger. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Black and blue burger with olives.
But you would think that would melt right a little quicker than your, you know, slice of.
Well, it doesn't though, because they're usually thicker chunks. See, when you do a slice, you got consistent thickness. When you get crumbled blue cheese, some of the crumbles are bigger than others, and the little ones might melt. But it's going to take the big ones. You're going to overcook your burger by the time you melt the big ones.
Right.
Right. In the center. Now you can eat cold blue cheese all day long. So that's not a bad thing.
Are you
thing,
a blue cheese fan?
Yeah.
I am too.
Yep. Yeah.
A lot of people aren't.
Yeah, my wife can't stand it. I'd eat it all day. But
yeah.
How are you guys on the olive burger?
Love them.
Right. Yeah.
Do you love those? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, I had that story from that company or that restaurant over in by Flint. It was the oldest. They created the olive burger. I posted it on our Facebook page.
Right.
I'm sorry we didn't maybe cover it on the show, but that's not the type I like. I like the type that like Chef Jeff used to make, where he would just grill up a big, fat, beautiful burger. He'd grill up your bun, and at the last minute, he'd put a gob of Hellman's on each bun, put lettuce on the bottom, Swiss on top of the burger, and then a bunch of beautiful green olive slices, and so that they're falling all over the place. And your first bite, I'm so hungry right now thinking about it.
It's so good. The only thing I would add to that is maybe a thin slice of tomato. I like a tomato on an olive burger, man.
I think you described it.
That's personal.
Yeah, it is.
But, ooh,
wow.
Man.
The original way that Jeff used to make them. Didn't Mr. Burger come up with that?
Yeah.
Wasn't that one of his things? The Mr. Fabulous, didn't that have olives on it?
Yeah.
I think so.
A long time ago. But anyway, there you go. Sounds good. Tastes good. Coming up next.
No more burgers.
But bone-in chicken thighs. These are a little challenging. You might want to listen to this one. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hey, this is Job from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about my favorite butcher shop. It's Sobey Meats on the northwest side of Grand Rapids on Remembrance Road. This is a custom butcher. They'll cut any piece of meat that you want, any size, any way that you can dream of to make sure that your grilling experience is perfect. Sobey Meats smokes all their own meats. They've got kielbasas and over 40 different flavors of brats. You got to try Sobey Meats on Remembrance Road. Tell them the Grilling Guys sent you.
Fenn Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fennville, Michigan, 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids. It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family's been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine. Fenn Valley Vineyards.
And now, back to the Grillin' Guys Show.
With the Grillin' Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mittful. Shooting sauce on ribs is what men do. We like meat, and no tofu. With me and Job, it never gets dull. The grill's so big, it's like a ship's hull.
Welcome back. You listen to the Grillin' Guys. We've been talking about grilling summer food. Hope you tuned in. If you haven't, you can catch us on the podcast. We'll go to thegrillingguys.com, their little headphone up in the upper right corner. Click on that, and we'll send you the show. You can listen to it, whatever you want. But we're doing it Saturday mornings here. And we've been talking about stuff to put on the grill. Dog days of summer.
Yeah, welcome back, and thanks for joining us. We probably have three times the amount of pod listeners that can possibly listen over terrestrial. Our pod group is huge. And if you're not into podcasts and you like the show, this is a great excuse to kind of figure it out and start doing it because it's convenient. And we all have shows we like. And if this is one of them, it'll send right to your phone.
We thank both of you.
Yes. when you get that half hour or hour when you just don't know what to do and you don't want to look at a video or something, you can throw your earbuds in, throw on a podcast. I listen to Jocko Willink. I listen to Rich Dad, Robert Kiyosaki. All these people that are they're just wonderful entertainers and very smart people. That's where Jop and I fall in.
That's right. Yeah, I'll be the very smart. He's a wonderful entertainer. You figure it out from there.
One's funny, one's smart.
Yeah. Right.
Oh boy.
But speaking about smart,
we entertain ourselves a lot.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And once again, we appreciate both of you that listen.
That's right.
But bone-in chicken thighs. Let's talk a little bit about that because there's some technique here, and you can jack them up. But this is a great place for the novice griller to start because you can buy these things for $1.69 a pound if you find them in the store. Maybe more now. I don't know. I don't pay attention. But these are a quintessential summer barbecue item. But there's some tips, right?
Prep.
Right.
What are you going to do to prep?
Well, chicken is not one of those things that you want to bring it to room temperature on your counter. don't do that. I mean, I take it out of the fridge and I'll put some seasonings or some marinades on it. I'm going to tell you what I do with the prep is when I take a thigh or a leg quarter.
And
wouldn't you go with either of those in this category?
And as an aside, probably could. Yeah, sure. Why not?
Yep.
I never buy them like that, but and just as a side note, none of them are ever cut the same.
Right.
So what he's going to tell you right now will apply to some and not others.
Right. But most of the time when you pull them out of the package, the way they've been processed is there's a big flap of extra skin. It's hanging off one side. It's about twice as much skin that needs to go over the thigh.
And why do they leave that on there?
I think it's for weight.
That's right.
I mean, because they sell his stuff by the pound, and that skin has some weight to it.
It's more money, more money. Plus, there are competition guys who like to take that piece and wrap the rest of the thigh in it for a perfect presentation. So there's some credibility to that.
Yeah, but
I cut it off too.
Right. So you're going to put this on a board. Okay, so I'm gonna take a rabbit trail here. When you're using your utensils, your cutting board, your knives, if you're using chicken, don't ever put anything on it after the chicken, your board or your knife, without cleaning it thoroughly. Because when chicken juice warms up, the bacteria starts to go crazy, and you're going to make people sick. Now, you could do your beef first on the board with your knife and not hurt anything and then do your chicken, but don't ever do it the other way around without cleaning after the chicken.
He didn't really say that, so if you're the health department, we're just kidding.
Right.
So, but he's absolutely right in the sanitation. You don't want, we call them contaminated boards or knives or tools because chicken will give you a gut ache and, you know, the trots.
So you take that skin off there. Now, I'm going to tell you what I do, and maybe this is something that I just enjoy doing. I peel that skin back on that thigh till there's only like maybe like a half inch of it still connected to the thigh.
And it'll be obvious which side wants to come off.
Right. And I peel that back, and I season the meat, and I season the skin.
You're such a cheater.
On the underside, and then I'll flap that back over, and I'll season the skin on the outside. Flip the whole thing over and season it. Now, that seems like a lot of seasoning, but it isn't heavy. But what that does is it makes the skin acts as a shield. And I eat the skin and I eat the meat separately.
So
the skin is now flavored and the meat is now flavored when I go underneath.
And there might be a reason to keep that skin on there in terms of like a nice fat thigh like I did Monday. This falls right into my Monday cook. This is not a food you want to push. I had to push everything Monday, right? Because I've got this good-looking brunette with her foot in my keister and a bunch of people coming out of the pool ready to eat.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
This isn't something you want to push.
Right.
You can push hot dogs. You can push burgers. You can push steaks.
Right.
You don't want to push chicken.
Right. You want it done 165. Use your thermometer if you can't tell.
Medium temp grill is where I'm going.
Right. Yeah. Don't do it fast because one, you're going to get flare ups and it's going to get burned on the outside before it's done on the inside. That bone is the meat is connected to the bone in this because it's a bone in chicken thigh that we're talking about, and you need to get that all the way down to the bone. You need to get that cooked. And you don't want to do it fast. You want to do it slow because.
So if you really like the crispy chicken skin, that's a piece of meat that if you do what Jop's telling you and you wrap that piece, season under it, season over it, that's a piece that will give you a wonderful kind of like potato chip effect to when you start popping that skin off there. And then, in my opinion, chicken skin is doable. Otherwise, I don't really care for it.
Right. I don't either. Does the. When you do that, are you saucing your chicken, or do you sauce chicken at the end, or do you sauce it at the table? What is your preference?
You know, since I'm not doing 500 chickens for a Boy Scout thing on the side of the road, I'm not going to put sauce on it. Those guys always just lather everything in barbecue sauce, and that's a flavor. It's good for chicken halves or quarters, and it reminds you of when you were a kid or whatever, but I never make chicken like that.
I don't either.
I marinate it, and then, I mean, I don't know. I'm not the biggest barbecue sauce guy anymore. You know, you can get to a point where it's just, you get sick of it.
Well, and it makes it super messy to eat.
Yes.
In my opinion, even if with your knife and fork. So what I like to do is cook it with a dry rub, any one you like. And then when it's done, serve barbecue sauce at the table that you could squirt some on your plate and dip your chicken
there
bite in it and go that way. But I'll ask my guests when they come over, I said, do you like sauce on or not? If they say yes, it's already cooked about 95% before I touch it with sauce. And I don't like a sweet baby Ray's that's big and thick. I'll take some of that, if that's your flavor, and I'll dilute it with beer. And I want it a little bit thinner. I want a glaze on there. I don't want a big glop of sauce because, one, it doesn't caramelize, and two, it's a mess to eat.
Oh, it'll caramelize all over your grill.
Right, yeah, but not on the chicken, right?
It's a big mess on the grill.
Because I've got it 95% cooked before I do that.
Right.
And because I want that, the reason that I don't is I want that skin crispy. There's nothing worse in my book. There's nothing worse than a rubbery chicken skin when you take a bite of it. Oh, can't handle it. Don't
yeah,
like it.
And the weird thing is KCBS, when you're doing competitions, they actually, you know, there has to be a certain tenderness to their rubbery skin. I don't get that.
No. Nope.
That's why I'm not in love with the competitions, because they've got criteria that just, it's not how you would make food.
Not how I make it. And if you're coming to my house to eat, you're going to get crispy skin on your chicken. You're not going to get rubber. I've not made you a good piece of chicken if I serve it with a rubbery skin. That's my standard. But anyway.
A good marinade, again, comes down to just a cheap Caesar dressing or a cheap Italian dressing is always good. But this fattoush dressing from Costco, I'm telling you, it is money.
Right. But what you're looking for is an oil-based profile, because that's going to crisp things up on your grill when you marinate. And there's herbs and spices in those dressings that Bob just described.
And we go to Old World Olive Company. You can get just a good olive, a good olive oil, a good vinegar, balsamic or non. And then they've got these great little spice packets.
Yep.
You can make up your own dressing in a heartbeat, and it's going to be super high quality. Now, I'm going to tell you, for marinade, I don't do that. I get the cheap stuff, because you're throwing the stuff away after a couple hours.
Right.
I hate throwing away expensive oils and vinegars.
Right. You're going to put it in a Ziploc bag, throw your chicken in there, dump this, your dressing, whatever you want on it. A couple hours later, pour the dressing off, throw the chicken on the grill. Mm-hmm. Cold. Don't let it come to temperature, warm room temperature. So anyway.
Man, that was the best summer recipes, and I don't think we gave out a recipe.
No, exactly. Well, that's kind of what we do. Yum. We tell you what we're going to do, something, but we don't really ever do it. Yeah. But anyway, you're listening to Grilling Guys, Grilling Guys Talk Network. We appreciate you tuning in each and every week. Get out in your backyard, create a little grill envy in your neighborhood, because it's the time of year to do it.
Yes.